to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. Each week I try to bring the most exciting, revolutionary, thought-provoking ideas to this program. Programs that are dedicated to understanding a new dimension of thought and a higher reality of being. Tonight's guest is very much along those lines. His name is Kiwani Lapsaritis, and he is an investigator into the Bigfoot phenomena. And there's so much to talk to him about that, I'm just excited to get into it. So, Kiwani?
Yes.
How are you hearing me over there? Okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
Nice to be on the...
All right. You know, your investigations into Sasquatch or Bigfoot or whatever you want to call them take on dimensions of thought and of being. First of all, I know that this phenomenon is real. I know there are Bigfoot feet out there. I mean, and tell me about your background and how you got into this investigation.
Well, I'm a social scientist with 4 degrees, and I've started 52 years ago doing the research.
What started you in the research? What was your feeling?
Well, my dad was a hunter and fisherman, and growing up in the 50s, back in western Massachusetts and southern Vermont, I always had wild animals as pets and was a very precocious and very avid reader. And my dad had a stag magazine that had all these hunting articles in it as far as safaris and everything. And they had an article on the Sasquatch up in Canada. And that's the first time. I was 12 years old at the time. And that was the first time I had been introduced to the subject.
So how did you get more into the concrete investigations of it, going out into the field, and you say you make psychic, telepathic communication with it? What was your first ventures into the field investigating this?
Well, first of all, I always believed they were a people and not an animal to be shot or hunted down.
Right.
That's very important to understand. Because whatever thoughts we are holding on to, we are unwittingly projecting that into the field and thus to the Sasquatch people.
Mm.
So I had done many different investigations by interviewing people, going into areas where they had seen or had encounters with the Sasquatch, and I even spent 5 years out of the country living in England, East Africa, Japan. I later immigrated to Australia and even spent some time in the Himalayas investigating the Yeti or the abominable snowman.
It's the same creature or being, isn't it?
Basically there's 7 different races of them all over the world.
Oh.
They told me that the Yeti was the least evolved of them. And they're a little more aggressive. The Sasquatch has never been aggressive towards me because, again, I show respect for them, and I don't have any fear of them at all. Very important.
Have you actually had a face-to-face encounter with one?
Yes, I've had 7 physical encounters with them, and I've had a few hundred ones where I could see right through them. And sometimes they were about 2 to 3 feet away from me at the time.
Well, we'll get into the interdimensional aspects to them a little later, but let's just talk about basically they're what? They describe what they look like.
Well, first of all, there's 3 different major races that I'm aware of in this country. Sasquatch people that look like an ape in the face, but they're humanoid and very evolved. And then there's the ancient ones that have a human-like face. They do not have the sagittal crest, and they don't have the long arms that the Sasquatch have. Then there's the dog-face ones. Some people have said they looked a little bit like giant baboons, 8 and 10 feet tall, walking on two legs, but having a muzzle, So there are three kinds I am familiar with and have been contacted by the first three, the Sasquatch people and the ancient ones, numerous times. In fact, to date, over 950 times since 1979 when they first came to me. And when they first came to me, it was in Wisconsin, which was the shock of my life, really. I was not afraid. I was just stunned by this. At the time, I was a assistant director of a Native American agency in the city. I was working part-time as a hypnotherapist and had been lecturing at the medical college in Wisconsin. So I was very ill-prepared for all this psychic stuff.
Well, what happened when they first came to you there?
Well, I was on Indian land, and the Sasquatch started talking to me, and then a few minutes later, an ET started talking to me.
Telepathically.
And this really threw me. It really threw me for a loop.
What did the telepathic communications of the Sasquatch, what were they saying to you?
They were first, he simply said that he was the Sasquatch man and that he is watching me there and had been watching me for many years, longer than I know or understand at that time, he said.
Why were they watching you? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll explain.
Sure.
He said that he had been watching me pretty much through my lifetime, and that he was there to let me know that he was real. And then the an ET in a more sophisticated voice said to me, I am a star person, and I also have been watching you for many years, in fact, over your lifetime as well. And if you're... and I thought to myself, I'm looking around, and I thought, I don't see him. Where is he? I'm thinking this, not realizing that he's listening to me in every thought because it's telepathic. And he said in answering that, even though I didn't realize he could hear me, he said, right now I'm in a UFO, as you people call it. And, I mean, I just looked around, and I didn't see anything. And I said, this isn't happening. And I started walking back to the Native American people that were sitting around there. When I did, I sat down. They were in the field. And the Sasquatch kept talking to me. And then the one of the Native Americans, they were all traditionalists, said, you should build your sweat lodge over there. And the owner, the Native American that just bought the property, said, no, I will not build it there. And then the Indian medicine man spoke up, and he said, that would be an excellent place. I approve. That would be a good place for the sweat lodge. And the owner of the property said, no, I will not build it there. He says, that's where the star people have been landing their spaceships, and I don't want to disrupt their activity. And as soon as he said that, I stood up and ran all the way back to, which was close to 100 yards, back 75 to 100 yards, back to the house. I was just, you know, it was kind of mind-blowing at the time. And,
Up until that point, up until that point, you thought, well, maybe you're going a little crazy hearing these voices in your head.
No, I knew it was real, but I kept trying to suppress it and make it go away, because it didn't make any sense to me at the time.
But that's where maybe you're different than other people. How did you know it was real, where other people would have just thought, well, this...
The Native Americans said that the star people were there, and when they said that, I knew that all those experiences were absolutely real.
So up until then, you were sort of possibly in doubt about that.
Right. I didn't think I was crazy or anything. I just didn't know what to make of it. And I felt this overwhelming energy that kind of sedated me, made me relaxed. And that changed me physiologically. So I didn't understand why that was happening.
So there were two different vibrations, the voice of the Sasquatch and the voice of the ET. You could definitely tell.
Oh, there's just absolutely no doubt. I mean, it's easy to tell.
You also
see, there's three kinds of telepathy. There's verbal telepathy, visual telepathy, and feeling telepathy. And if I've experienced every one of those numerous times, hundreds of times, actually, and sometimes all three at once.
Yeah, so I really want to understand who the Sasquatch are, but also there is a relationship between the ETs and the Sasquatch somehow.
Yes, they told me, they said they had work to do down here, and that the ETs can't do some of the work because they would be too visible. Uh-huh. And therefore, that's where the Sasquatch people take over. Then the Sasquatch say they can't do their job without contacting people like me, to get the truth out to who they are and, that we're destroying the environment, that we're, destroying the planet, environmentally, that we're warring all the time, where, there's spouses killing children, children killing parents, it's insane. They're watching all this and that's why they don't want nothing to do with us. They told me they felt like that they were the parents. This is the Sasquatch people. They're the parents, and we are the children, always acting up, doing foolish things by destroying the environment, destroying the water, harming each other, and starting wars. So,
they were
a little crazy.
They've been sort of hiding from us because, let's face it, there are probably, 6 billion people on the planet. We've inhabited pretty much everywhere humans have, and still there's no practical evidence that these beings exist. I mean, how have they been able to avoid us for so long?
It's because they're interdimensional nature people that can... I've seen them dematerialize right in front of me. Other people have, too. I have, to date... my book, The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connections, been out for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
In that book, I mention that there are 76 people that I documented having those similar experiences or the same experiences as myself. Now it's 152 people.
They're interdimensional, so they don't live all on at the here on the planet's surface all the time. They go to other places. Where do they go when they're not in this dimension?
Well, that's something I don't entirely understand still.
Uh-huh.
But they can become... They have access to 7 different dimensions.
Uh-huh.
8, I think they told me. That's right, 8 different dimensions. And so they can dematerialize and still be there. They can teleport to other places. They can go through portals that lead to other realms, but it's still on this planet. It's still in this time and space, but when they cross over, they told me it's a different time and a different space, and everything is totally different.
I mean, what I get from them is that they're very aware, like the ETs, of human consciousness, so they can probably pick up in their own telepathic field if there's any humans within... 100 miles or 10 miles of them. I think they're that tuned in, it seems like, right? So
yes, but at times, if they're busy, people have walked right up on them.
Oh, really?
Because they're not putting out their psychic radar, is what I call it, where they're scanning. They don't scan constantly. During hunting season for deer hunting, they do all the time.
Uh-huh, because that's the thing I was going to say. So, okay, I mean, I've heard of them being shot or even photographed. But shot. There was a guy on the Art Bell show who said he came upon one and thought it was an animal and shot it, and you would think that the psychic radar would have been up, but I guess you're saying it's not up all the time.
They're not fallible. They're not infallible. You know, as much as they know and the different skills they have to evade us, they're still not infallible. They don't have that up 24/7, and they could, you know, walk over the ridge and walk into somebody with a gun, but it'd be extremely rare, very, very, very rare.
Well, it's it is rare because there's still not one body live alive or dead of a Sasquatch that scientists can go and examine. Now, why do you think
that... The Sasquatch say they don't care. They don't want to give up any of their bodies of their beloved people who have died, and they certainly don't want any of their people shot.
Wow.
Again, they consider us a very dangerous race of people, and they could give a damn about science or getting any kind of proof. When proof is to come, it's going to come directly from them when they feel the timing is right. So I've started out as a scientific investigator because of my background as a social scientist, but it's turned into a spiritual quest in many regards because I have experienced so much psychic phenomena with them, and I've learned to respect them even more. So... I've had long conversations with them at times, so
I
know what they want, and they know that I'm not trying to exploit them like other Bigfoot researchers want to. Probably 95% of them want close-up photographs, a body, or else to capture one, and with that energy, they're putting out that energy, they might as well be walking into the forest with a neon sign saying, "We're coming after you." Because they've already forewarned the Sasquatch.
I see. But it seems like the Sasquatch, just getting back to the other point, are a lot more careful than even the ETs. I mean, I'm sure, and I'm pretty convinced that the U.S. government has ET bodies, but, you know, not. And so it just seems there seem to be perhaps even more intelligent or more psychically attuned than many of the ET races that have been visiting us as well. I mean, do you agree?
The Sasquatch are more evolved than we are. They are more evolved than we are. We think because we have technology, we have all the answers, and we have an edge on things, but they've already proven that it doesn't make any difference. That whether we feel we have an edge, after officially 52 years ago, they started... All these big hunters and all kinds of people with wilderness skills to go out and hunt these things down. And now there's hundreds of people all over the United States and Canada doing this, and they still don't have a body. They still are ignorant people, the researchers. They're incredibly ignorant, and they feel that they need to shoot or capture one or get a close-up picture. But what they don't understand is there's no such thing as Sasquatch the animal, the monster. And that's why they haven't got any further in over half a century, is because they're after something that doesn't exist. What does exist is the Sasquatch people that are very cognitive to what we are doing, and very aware and very evolved. And when you treat someone and give them the respect that they deserve without any payoff at all, simply being friends, then they'll come to you. But none of the people, other researchers, 95% of them, don't believe in what I'm doing or what I've discovered. It has nothing to do with belief. It has to do what I scientifically documented, and these other 152 people have objectified my reality as well.
Right. So it has to be a psychic.
You know, I don't need a body. I'm not trying to prove anything to science like I initially was going to do, but I was going to do it photographically and so forth. But I realized, you know, as I started spending more and more time in the field, that this is not the way to go.
Right. So the true investigations into this into these beings and people must be spiritually based, and
It has to be. You've got to have a balance between science and spirituality. And spirituality has nothing to do with religion. Spirituality is simply respect. A daily practicing of respect for all living things, trees, plants, worms, doesn't make any difference what, but your next door neighbor, that may not be a nice person, but you show respect for them anyway. You don't go down in their level. And this is really important, because again, you know, it's, everybody wants tit for tat. Everybody wants to get back at somebody else or, to start a war over any little thing. And this is dangerous. This is dangerous, and this shows the Star people and the Sasquatch people that we are very immature, that our technology has superseded our spiritual development.
Right. No, I get that, and I think obviously your approach is the most rational in a sense. So what's a typical day for a Sasquatch, and how many you think actually exist on the planet, and then what do they do with themselves?
Well, first they get up and they make coffee.
They do?
No, I'm only kidding. First of all, they're up a lot at night, and I believe that they can see, but I'm not sure how at night. I'm not sure if it's
infrared.
Infrared. I'm not sure of that. They may use some kind of other abilities. I just don't know. But they are up, mostly inactive at night, because it's safer.
Uh-huh.
It's safer for them. And even though they're around during the daytime, they have a tendency to sleep late at night. That is, very early in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock, they would have a tendency, 4, 5, or 6, to sleep. And they would sleep till late morning or closer to noon.
Uh-huh.
So
they don't have a language. They are telepathic with each
other.
They
have a language. They have their own language, which is different than the language of the ancient ones. It's different than the language of the little people. There are many different beings out there, they told me. They said, there's many. You people think we're the only ones, but there's all kinds of different beings walking around this planet that we're totally unaware of, and many of them are visiting from another dimension, from a totally different realm.
Do they talk about the interior of the Earth, populations there as well?
No, they don't. I haven't asked, and they never told me.
Because some people claim
they don't volunteer information very readily, because they are like a secret society of people that do not want to volunteer too much, because they don't trust our government and people in general. You know, some people that are out of work or not making very much money would like to recruit a few friends and neighbors and surround a mountain where they keep seeing the Sasquatch and go up there and shoot one, sell it for $10 million or something, and everybody make a lot of money. But again, they are projecting that to the Sasquatch on that mountain.
Right.
But nevertheless, it can be caught off guard, as rare as it is, but they rather not give away too much information about their lives. They don't seem to need technology, and they get bored. If I give them things or leave things out there, they get bored with it, and they have a tendency to give it back later after they show it around, and their members of their clan look at it, and they're just not interested in material objects and those kinds of things. Like, we're so enamored with them, we worship technology just about.
So would you say their tradition in culture is then an oral tradition, an oral culture of stories and spiritual teachings? I mean,
yes, it's very much like Native Americans lived, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. That kind of an existence, but they do have underground places where they can go. Actually, some of them are gigantic, where they meet during the winter time and spend time underground, having their meetings, matching up different mates so they could, have children, and that kind of thing. They have their own rituals and things as well that are dear to them because they're an evolved people. But because they have an animal-like body and they can, you know, kill an animal and pull out the liver and the heart and eat it raw, even though they can make fire, they know fire will draw people.
Right.
Years ago, they didn't worry about it. They could smoke salmon and smoke meat, but they don't do that anymore because it's too dangerous. They know the planes that, you know, from the Forest Service that check areas out and so forth can spot a fire, and they'd send in people.
Mm-hmm.
And
How many Sasquatch are there existing on the planet from these seven different races, in your estimate?
I don't know. That's absolutely an excellent question.
Would you say thousands in your guess, or millions? No.
I would say, keep in mind, there's some are small ones, some are medium-sized, and some are large people, some are giants, and there's a few that are super giants, really. Different races of them are some of them are really gigantic. Who knows? 5,000 all over the world, 10,000 all over the world.
But
I really don't know.
But at least a few thousand, probably. At least, you know.
Probably 10,000 at least. I mean, one person said, "Oh, there's millions of them." And I said, "I'm sorry, it doesn't have anything to do with millions." And he insisted, so I kind of backed away and didn't want to discuss it. You know, he was talking nonsense that there's millions and millions of them. I mean, it's hard to say if they're going in and out of other dimensions through portals. They told me that there's aquatic portals. Uh-huh. There are terrestrial portals that are right on the Earth. And then there are extraterrestrial portals in outer space that the star people can dimension hop and go from one place to the other by going from portal to portal. That's why it takes a few minutes and sometimes a few hours to go, you know, 20 or 30 light years. Because they're going in and out of these other dimensions.
Wow, let's just back up one second. You said there's some real gigantic ones. About how big are the gigantic Sasquatches?
15 to 19 feet is the largest that I'm aware of that an attorney saw and
19.
Took a picture of, but it was just the giant shadow. You know, there you could see the silhouette. It was in the daytime, but a little ways away, and it was beside a walkway. And the walkway he measured was 8 feet wide. So he took the walkway right beside where the Sasquatch was standing and measured it, and it came out 19 feet tall.
That's incredible.
He found it hard to believe, even though he knew that the Sasquatch, this particular one, was a super giant. And he took it to a friend of his that was a mathematician that taught college math. And he asked him if he would try to figure out how tall this thing was. And he told him the walkway, which he was using as a barometer, as a measuring rod, was 8 feet wide. And when he measured it all up, he came up with exactly 19 feet as well.
That's incredible. Imagine encountering something like that unexpectedly.
Right. Now, the average Bigfoot researcher would laugh or would not agree with any of this stuff. But they're out of touch with reality. They're good people. I'm not putting them down. They're nice people, and they've educated the public that there are other beings out there. But as far as being in touch with reality, by really knowing what's going on the level that I understand them at, they don't know any of this. And when they hear it, they don't want to hear it because they have their own fantasies of what the Sasquatch are about. They're monsters to be shot, and we got to go get them, and it's this old-world thinking, sort of a Teddy Roosevelt mentality, where we got to go out, and the macho male's got to go out there and face the elements and kill animals and monsters and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. And we've got to control this situation. We've got to take over nature. Well, that's why we're, that attitude has got us into a lot of problems right now, environmentally and ecologically. And
right.
Plus, with the war, and we've used up all of so much fresh water that even water in deep aquifers, a lot of them are contaminated with chemicals and stuff. It's just really a mess, and it's going to get worse. And they know this, and they are angry about it. They are disgusted with us.
Huh. And that's why they're coming forward through people like you to tell us to wake up and look what we're doing to our planet.
Right. They are the ultimate environmentalists, the Sasquatch are. They can even control some aspects of the weather directly that's directly in their area. And I've seen them do this three times.
You know, this sounds like the woman in Russia that's been written about, Anastasia. Have you heard about her?
Yes.
Is there any connection that you see between the Sasquatch and Anastasia?
Everyone has their own unique story or, you know, their own encounter.
Right.
And, certainly there's stories of miscegenation or interbreeding.
Between Sasquatch and humans, huh?
And apparently, they told me that absolutely that goes on, and that the ancient ones told me, when I was in Texas, they told me that it's a part of their culture that they passed down, the storytelling, that back in the 1800s, when slaves escaped and they tried to move westward where it was safer, and some of them made it, very few did, but some of them made it, but they were dying because they had to live and eat and they needed water, and they found some of these runaway slaves, and they brought them in and befriended them, and then they mixed their genes in the Sasquatch, or in this case, the ancient ones, the ones with a human face, into their gene pool.
Wow.
Because they know enough, either through the star people, through the ETs, or through their own people, they knew that their gene pool would be small and they needed to interbreed.
Well,
with other Sasquatch, and as the modern age came on, there was more warring and everything, therefore there were less and less Sasquatch interacting. They had to be careful, and they did take some Indian women and so forth. So this is proof that they're humans, because if they weren't human, they would not be able to interbreed.
Well, let's
just like
go
we
back.
Can't breed with a chimpanzee that, because we don't have the same number of chromosomes.
Well, let's go back then and trace the history, because they say we are related to each other. So we go back to an ancient, extraterrestrial common background. What do you see as the history of the human Sasquatch ET relationship genetically?
I'm going to tell you first what they told me. And after they told me what I'm going to tell you, that's when I started reading Zachariah Sitchin's books.
Okay.
And this was back, they told me what I'm going to tell you back in 1985. And this was the ancient ones with the human faces. And they miscegenate with the Sasquatch. They all have their own language. The Sasquatch, the ancient ones, the little people, they all have their own language. But they learn each other's language to a point where they can trade and they're friendly. Miscegenate, which
what
means
that mean?
Interbreed. Interbreed.
Oh, so they all interbreed with each other, but they all have their own language and their own distinct culture, probably.
Right, yes. Okay. And there's, it's very, all of them are very similar to Native American culture and what
right.
they do and the respect they have for that. Well, anyway, they told me that they were brought here millions of years ago by their friends, the Star People.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I would just ask them something to see what he'd say. And I said, well, what about Adam and Eve?
Uh-huh.
And he says, I don't know anything about Adam and Eve. You're going to have to wait and ask our friends, the Star People, because they're the ones who brought them.
Uh-huh.
And when he said that, previous to that, back in the early 70s, I taught anthropology for a year at a New England college. And so with my anthropology background, him saying this to me really, you know, threw a monkey wrench at, in my accumulative knowledge at the time.
Right.
And so then I said to him, I said, well, what are you trying to tell me? And he said, we, meaning his people, were seated here millions of years ago before our people were seated. The hairless humans were seated.
Uh-huh, okay.
They were seated, we were seated later.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, seated? You know, still believe in God and pray, and they tell me to pray more for world peace and everything, which I do, but they are in such a way that some of the things they're saying doesn't make a lot of sense if you're plugged into the Adam and Eve thing.
Right, the organized religion thing, but most of the people listening probably aren't, so.
Right.
But, okay, so,
but nevertheless, so they gave me more insight, because they're not trying to prove anything. They're just answering the question point blank, very blatantly. And so, you know, if this isn't true, then they're the ones that are lying. But I don't believe they're lying at all.
Right. So they were seeded first here on planet Earth from probably related to the Anunnaki, where you get Sitchin's work.
There's been several cultures, several civilizations that were very evolved, both in India
Egypt.
Many other places.
Atlantis, would you say, is one of those?
Lemuria and Atlantis and so forth. They said there are many different civilizations. I mean, they found a boot print, an antelope down in the coal mines in Antelope, Utah. I believe it was in the 1960s. I think it was in 68. I believe it was 1968.
I think that's on your website, that example. Yeah.
Yeah,
a blueprint underground that where it's impossible.
That was 450 million years ago. 450 million years ago. That's almost a half a billion years old. So what I'm saying is there's the good, bad, and the indifferent everywhere in the universe, and some are more evolved, and some are less evolved, and some are super evolved. So, obviously, we're somewhere scraping bottom still with the way we're acting on this planet, and they want us to outgrow that, and the only way that's going to happen, apparently, is major cataclysms to get rid of some of the people that are and level some of the cities that are, since big business really owns Washington, and people who are in the position of big business, these huge corporations, are really playing dice with humanity here. They have too much power and too much money and not enough brains. They're not spiritually endowed at all. They're very, very dangerous people.
Right, but
and they're the ones that are directing this world secretly, and it's they know that, the Sasquatch and the ETs know that, but I asked them at times if they would interfere and help, and they told me, if we stepped in and interfered, then our karma here would become their karma.
Uh-huh.
And so they have to let so much of this unfold on its own and just give directions, even though they don't want to see a nuclear war. They said it would leak into other dimensions and really cause tremendous havoc on this part of the solar system.
Right. No, I understand that the absolute environmental objective here. But I'm still a little curious in the history. Like, why were they brought here, and then we were brought here later, and we seem to be related to them. So, give us a little bit. Why were they brought here by these whoever brought them? Is that possible to know that?
Well, I don't know a lot about that. What I do know is that they told me their planet was being destroyed, and I've heard this several times, that a fleet from the Pleiades, giant ships that were, you know, almost like small cities, were in space investigating, and they would go in like small fleets of these gigantic ships, and they stopped on this planet where the some evil ETs were killing the Sasquatch and eating them because they were a source of food.
Wow.
And so the people from the Pleiades took them on and start to distribute them to other planets by helping them. And they did this, and planet Earth was one of these. How far back, I don't know. Whether it was the time of the dinosaurs or whether it was, you know, just a million years ago or something, I really don't know.
Okay, so then where did the humans come from, and how are we then, well, where are we, and how are we related to Sasquatch genetically? Then?
That's still a mystery. I think that we were engineered by the ETs, and that's why we're connected with them all the time. And that's why we can miscegenate with the ETs. Some of it is through when they fertilize a woman and then take the fetus, which is part of what's been going on. People have called me and told me, I don't even know who they are, but they read about me in magazines and newspapers and stuff, and they felt that they wanted to talk to me, and they told me that after their husband went to work early in the morning, they woke up with these ETs around them, and they were nude, and that later became pregnant, and then after 3 months, the fetus was taken. And
right.
They were afraid because they said, no one will believe me. I don't know where to go. And somehow they felt that they could trust me.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of reports, well, not a lot, but I've heard about that from many other sources as well. Bud Hopkins in New York has a lot of reports about women that have been impregnated and then the fetus removed after 3 months.
So my point in bringing that up, Alan, is that I've now believe that we're all interconnected here, but that we have the same amount of chromosomes so that we can interbreed, but... Mm. We certainly have different characteristics. I don't know any more about it than what I've told you now, and I don't know.
I've heard that we have all been seeded from what's been called the Lyran race. I don't know, in the constellation of Lyra, and then they seeded that. Initial civilization went to many planets and planted these genetic seeds of sentience, of conscious being potentials, then on many planets. And so we're all related through a common source, is what I've heard.
Something like that. I mean, it could be real or it may not be, but it's, you know, I can accept that. I've got nothing to argue against. I just don't know. And it isn't, some people say, well, ask the Sasquatch. And I say to them, it isn't like I sit down every morning over coffee and interrogate them, and they're just going to sit there and answer every question. They come when I least expect them, and often it's giving guidance, not asking asking questions to them. It's them sharing some guidance or something with me.
Right, one more question about...
There's some things they don't want to answer because they feel we're not evolved enough yet to have that knowledge.
Well, what would that be? What have you asked them that they haven't wanted to answer?
I'd rather not comment on that. But what I do want to comment on is that there's a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about that's in my book called The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection. And if anyone's interested in purchasing a copy, they can call me at 425-844-8409. That's 425-844-8409. The book's $20. It's $25 if you send for it, and people can feel free to call me and order the book. And it would explain a lot of this in the book, and I'm working on a second book that should be done in about 60 or 90 days called The Sasquatch People, which is all new information.
And do you have are you publishing it? Do you have a publisher?
I have an interested publisher in Hancock House, but I'm not sure if I want to publish it on my own this time or not.
Well, I have some interesting publishing connections, but let's have that conversation later, because I do want to ask you, now, did they ever say anything about Mars, about inhabiting that planet?
No. However, a man that was telepathing and talking to them back in the late 60s in southern Oregon claimed to have met people from Venus, Mars, and Saturn. And as we all know, these planets, you can't live on them. But are they living underground, or are they living in another dimension there, which is perfectly livable? So I don't know that, but this man, and I don't consider him crazy or anything, he's since deceased, but he claimed to have talked to some of these beings from Venus and other planets. So if it's a harsh climate and we can't live on it, maybe they're living, again, underground or in another dimension.
Right. I did actually just meet someone who had a girlfriend from Venus. There's a whole program I did with him on YouTube, on New Realities. If you look at New Realities on YouTube, the person's name is Alan White. He's a musician here in New York, and he had a whole relationship with a woman from Venus. So I don't know what to make of it either, but, you know, there's obviously more going on in the universe than we've been brainwashed to think is possible. And what I want to also ask then is, what is the ET-Sasquatch connection? We have a little more time. We can go as long as we want, actually, because there's so much to really talk about. So what is the, do they have daily interactions with ETs, the Sasquatch?
I can't answer that specifically, but I can give you my impression based on what they told me.
Yes.
And that is that there's probably, you know, maybe 5 or 10% of them that are working with the star people. However, I think lately there's been more of them kind of recruited. For example, the Sasquatch will do work for the star people by doing mining work. What they're mining, I don't know. But I knew of a place that they told me about where they were mining down in Southern California. So I contacted someone and sent them out there, and the person didn't know me very well and thought I was crazy. And how could I just send somebody out there? And I said, there'll be Sasquatch there. There's two Sasquatch. I marked on a map to stay 3/4 of a mile away, and that they'll be coming to this person. I told her. And she agreed with me, but she didn't believe anything I said. But when she went out there, as soon as it got dark, she started a fire to stay warm. It was high desert. And a Sasquatch walked up to the edge of her campsite and then just disappeared. And then later, the spaceships, she said, were going over her campsite, where through binoculars she could see the domes on them. And she says they were landing at the exact place that I marked on the map where they were mining. And she says, I don't know why people don't know about this. It's like Grand Central Station. The ETs came and went, the spaceships, all night long till it got so cold that she went to bed.
Huh. Wow. So, where are they still doing that mining, the Sasquatch, or is that finished?
That's finished.
Oh, okay. Because I'm going outside. I'd love to. You just got that impression to tell this woman? I mean, was that...
Well, they told me all this stuff.
They told you all this stuff. So they have a sort of very visible, ongoing relationship, the ETs and the Sasquatch, it seemed like.
Where they help each other.
Now, where
only for the higher good, only for the higher good of all concerned, that's going to benefit the planet. And they're trying to offset some of the crazy stuff that we're doing.
But where are these ETs from? Do they say, are these the Pleiadians, or are they from someplace else?
These were the Pleiadians, but there's many, many different races, and I don't know, I've seen 7 different races of them, but I don't really know, they were all working they're the good guys all working together. But when I was in Texas and in Oklahoma, the ancient ones there told me, if you see a glowing ship at night in the forest, do not get near it, anywhere near it. Just move, go back to your camp or cabin or wherever you're staying and stay away from it. That most of the ones there were evil. And she says, when they land in their area, even they run and hide.
Huh.
And that later, about a year later, when I went back down there, they told me one of their friends, a Sasquatch, and this is the ancient one speaking to me, that one of their friends, a Sasquatch, was just taken by these bad ETs, and they were sad because they said they'll never see him again.
Huh.
If they took us, no one would ever see us again. Whether they literally cannibalize us, whether they just experiment on us, or whether they keep us like a pet, I don't know. But these particular race, there's, you know, only about maybe two or three real evil races out there, but nevertheless, some of the missing people that are gone and never found again have been taken by these evil star people.
What about the little grays who are abducting people for their genetic experiments and evolution?
Well, the best that I understand that is that the people agreed before entering the body to donate their sperm or their egg or a fetus to this cause.
I agree with that, because I feel like I'm connected to those people, even though it wasn't a pleasant experience, you know.
Well, here's the thing, that I've seen different kinds of beings, and so whenever I describe them, the people say, oh, right, they were the grays. And I said, no, they were not the grays. They said, well, that's what you described. And I said, no, there is this prototype that, you know, communion, in the book Communion, was brought out, and so everyone thinks that's exactly what they look like. Well, they do look like that, but there's other races that look similar. It's like having a Korean man, a Japanese man, a Chinese man, a Filipino man, and someone from Cambodia and Thailand and so forth, all lined up. And you can't say, well, they're all the same. No, they're not the same. They don't even understand each other's language. They have different cultures. They eat rice differently. They cook it differently. All this stuff is different. So you can't lump them all together just because we feel they all look alike. So,
but there is something in common that they seem to have in common with the Sasquatches, is that they all seem to be interdimensional. They seem to move in and out of...
That is a commonality.
And now...
They're based, have a psychic base to them and what they do and their abilities to dematerialize, materialize. They can become invisible and teleport out of there, or they could become invisible but still be there and still able to touch us. I mean, the ETs, you know, I'm still in contact with them.
But, you know, it seems like since we're related to the ETs and the Sasquatch, they could be interdimensional. I think we have that facility that has just been atrophied, probably, but we can do that. Wouldn't you think?
I think so, too, but I think that they can teach us very easily, but they won't do it until probably after 2012. Until the planet gets weeded out, you know, with all the warmongers and the materialists that are destroying the planet and trying to take over the planet, literally take over, and the average person doesn't believe that or understand what's going on until it's too late. They're too preoccupied with surviving, or else if they've got money, they're too busy spending it on all their little adult toys, you know, a bunch of cars and motorcycles, boats, and all this technology that we have, and who cares? I'm unimpressed. Very Sasquatch-like in how think.
What's your take on 2012, then? What do you see happening?
Well, they told me to put away water, food and warm clothing and medical supplies. They said, soon come the Great War. We all will be safe in woods.
Mm.
In fact, that's exactly how it was said to me.
And when do you think that will happen?
Probably over the next 4 years, sometime.
What do you think, a nuclear thing, or what kind of a war?
It could be nuclear. It could be, if they do start doing a nuclear thing, then they're more insane than I realized, you know. But there is a lot of fanatics out there that are terrorists that, you know, aren't going to let up. They're not just going to say, okay, you guys win, that's the end of it, let's just break this thing up. It's not going to happen like that. They're not going to let up.
Uh-huh. So if they're just until
something very catastrophic happens.
So you say then by 2012 it should all clear up then? We'll be out
not
of
not really. I don't know. I didn't say that. I'm saying
I'm just trying to see what's happening.
It could culminate, and then it'd be a mess for several years.
I see.
I don't know, you know, or does it mean 2012 is when it's really going to get nasty and and catastrophic? And I don't know. I'm up in the air about it, too. I've read Nostradamus, Edgar Casey, all of that stuff. And just that it looks like something's coming down the pike that's going to be, it's going to influence the whole world. And only then will the Star people and the Sasquatch people come out to help those that are open-minded and need help and won't be fighting them. They're not going to go try to help someone that it's ready to that are dying, but they got guns and they're going to blast away at them while they're trying to get them to help them. They're going to just leave them to rot. Why? Because they'll get themselves killed. So these people will live in fear if they were living with them or taken on a ship or taken underground. If they help them in some way, the people won't want help. They'll still be viewing these beings as monsters just because they look different than us.
Right. Now, did someone say in the background that we had a phone call coming in, calling in? Seth,
no, but I'll answer any questions if they have.
Okay, if we have any, Seth, did you say that back there, the producer?
No, we have to wrap up.
Oh, we have to wrap it up. Okay. I thought you, okay. So,
I'd like to say one more thing. If anyone wants my book, The Psychic Sasquatch, they can call me direct at 425-844-8409. That's 425-844-8409. It's $25 with postage and everything, and it'd be an autographed copy. But it explains so much and fill in a lot of the missing links, and no pun intended, but, you know, missing information in my book because I cover so much.
Thank you so much for the research you're doing. Do you take people out into the field to meet them occasionally?
No.
You do not.
Screen certain people, which I already know that they'd want to meet. Other than that, you know, I don't take groups out. Anyone that's taking groups out is actually creating a problem because they cannot promise you anything and you'll waste your money. It's a total scam, really. So I do not agree with that. The Sasquatch don't want huge amounts of people going into their area. They just don't want it.
Well, there's so much more to talk to you about. We maybe could do another show in the next couple of months. Thank you, Kiwani Lapparitis. Again, his number, if you want to reach him, order a book. It's 425-844-8409. Thank you for the amazing work you're doing in bringing this awareness to the planet. Phenomenal.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime, definitely. I just want to tell people this has been New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. And if you have any questions for me, just email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check out my website, newrealities.com. I welcome any comments you might have. So thank you so much for listening, and every week at this time on bbsradio.com. This is Alan Steinfeld, and good night. Thank you.
Alan.